Texas Tech quarterback Brendan Sorsby was ruled eligible for the upcoming season after he's going to have to serve a two-game suspension. But a Lubbock judge, Ken Curry, who's actually a Tarrant County judge, is a visiting judge in this case, ruled in favor of Sorsby, and that angered 99.9% of college football. Nobody could believe that decision because Sorsby bet on his own team at Indiana.
Incredible.
And placed dozens and dozens and dozens of bets over 4 years. Well, we have a number for Judge Ken Curry because nobody can understand the thinking behind his decision. So let's call him and see if he'll talk to us about this.
Judge Ken Curry's office. This is Judge Ken Curry speaking.
Hello, Judge Curry. It's the Musers from the Ticket in Dallas.
Oh, good morning, gentlemen. Good to be with the morning Musers.
Yeah.
Oh, he's aware of the show. Okay.
I understand that I'm talking to three Marconi winners.
That's right.
Yeah. Ah, so congratulations, Jub.
Oh, well, thank you, Judge.
Congratulations to you, Junior.
Thank you.
Congratulations, Gordo.
Thank you.
Gordo, I say congratulations, Gordo.
I think he said thank you.
I don't think that was Gordo. Bailiff, issue an arrest warrant for one Gordon Adolf Hitchkiss Keith for contempt of court.
Man.
Contempt? Well, we're not in court, are we?
No, but it's contempt of court because when a judge says good morning to you, you're obligated to say good morning.
Oh, okay.
Well, Judge Curry, we wanted to get you on to talk about this very confusing Brendan Sorsby decision that you issued yesterday.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You cited in favor of Sorsby and are allowing him to play despite his gambling history.
Well, first of all, I've been judging and adjudicating for a long time. I'm known as a fair judge, a judge that's always extremely fair to the Red Raiders of Texas Tech.
Well, that's
if
just...
I can do my part to ensure the success of the Red Raiders, and I think it is my fiduciary duty under the Constitution of the United States of America, and more importantly, the great Lone Star State of Texas, to do just that.
Well, I'd see people outside this state and even within the state have a big problem with it. They're saying because you're a Texas judge, you're showing bias and... The fact that you're ruling in favor of a Texas school.
There's no bias here. No. I may have gone to UTA and Houston, mm-hmm. which were both my safety schools. I really wanted to get into Tech. Didn't have the grades, but... But people need to understand that this is not about Texas. Mm. This is about a good American named Brendan Sorsby. Well, he does what all good Americans do, and that is bet on anything and everything.
We are kind of going that way.
Let's not overblow what young Brendan did and make this bigger than it was. He made around 40 tasteful bets on Indiana football when he was on the Hoosiers roster.
Tasteful.
Yeah, tasteful.
Very tasteful, very, very impressive bets. This was when he was on the roster back in 20 and 22 A.D. Yep. But Brendan wagered on many other sports, too, not just ones that he was participating in. This was men's basketball games in Indiana and Cincinnati. So it's not. Let's not think that it's all about just betting on his team that he's on.
Well, you know, a lot of people believe
that. Let me say something, Craig.
Yeah.
Betting on your own team's game should no longer be seen as a sin in sports.
Well, it's kind of
a huge problem.
It's kind of the ultimate sin.
No, au contraire, if I may speak a little Spanish. It ought to be seen as a sign of confidence in or a sign of valid criticism of your own team, depending on the way you bet.
That's a little warped.
Man, we ought
to celebrate the fact that young Brendan had the courage in this case to show how it ought to be done.
Oh, God.
Man.
Well, there are a lot of people, Judge, that will argue that all of this gambling, especially by athletes, is just kind of making the world a worse place.
Well, I respectfully and tastefully disagree with that. I'm for bringing betting into all spheres of human existence. In fact, I am introducing a micro betting app that attorneys and judges can do in the courtroom.
That sounds like a bad idea.
Yeah. So I want all of your judicial listeners to go to penalbench.com and download the Judge Your Ass app and start betting on court cases today to earn crypto for you and your family.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even keep up with that. Do you know Brendan Sorsby? Have you ever talked to him in person?
Of course I have. Yeah, he's right. In fact, he's right here on my veranda having his morning Red Bull and betting on his Android while sharing a vape pen with my son. You want to talk to him?
Well, yeah, I guess.
All right, hold on. Brendan, someone wants to speak to you on the telephone system. Hello?
Is this Brendan Sorsby?
Sup?
Well,
who's wasting my time?
It's the Musers, radio hosts.
Okay, what?
Well, that we have you on now, can we ask, are you shocked that the decision went your way?
Oh, are you shocked that the decision went to me? No, I'm not shocked, bruh. In fact, all the prediction markets predicted I was going to win this decision.
Oh, really?
It's called the wisdom of the crowds. Look it up, Dill Wipe.
Don't you see the problem in this, though? Betting on the results?
Hold on, hold on. Shut up. Hold on.
What?
Hold on. Okay, I just placed a bet on Tech to beat ACU in the season opener. All right, go ahead.
No, you better not do that.
Yeah, I guess you're not playing in that game.
Yeah, I'm not playing in it. It's no big deal.
Yeah, but that's your team, though. Don't you see the problem here?
There's no problem. Dude, betting is sick, man. It's so fire. I love it.
So you win all the time?
You guys are just mad that this judge is badass.
Yeah, I guess so.
The world today.
It's not just us. It's everyone around the nation.
Oh, my gosh.
You guys are so unk. You bros are faded.
Yeah, we may be a little faded. You may be right about that. Yeah, all right. Enough. Look, you won. What are you doing rubbing it in our face?
I'm going to keep winning, except the games that I decide to throw. Then I'll lose those.
Well, that's not good.
Brendan out.
Okay, right, we'll see you. There goes the judge and Brendan. Exclusive material for you here.
Come in, Craig.
Over. Yes, we have you.
Okay. Gordon Keith reporting live from Brookhaven Country Club. Going out here to some sort of merch table. I'm not sure what's happening here. There's lots of young people gathered around this area. Talk to this lady right here. How you doing, ma'am? What's your name?
Oh, Allie.
Allie, what are you guys doing?
We're just setting up for our swim meet tonight.
Oh, you got a swim meet. Okay. You're all part of a swim team?
Yes, this is our main coach, Coach Sherry.
Coach Sherry, and where are y'all from?
We're from here, from Dallas.
Okay, where in Dallas?
Oh, I'm from like far north Dallas, and everybody's
it's like a private swim club thing?
Yeah, it's the swim team at Brookhaven, Brookhaven Sharks. Yeah.
Tell them they're lucky they never had to swim against Fairwind.
You guys are lucky that you never had to swim against?
Fairwind.
Oh.
You know Fairwind?
I've never heard of it.
I don't either. I'm being fed
five-time
Trident conference president, champions. Conference champions, Trident.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, it's very nice, very nice. So where'd you go to college?
I'm a sophomore at the University of Oklahoma.
Okay, that's Sooners, right?
Yes. Boomer Sooners.
Any other Sooners here?
Yeah.
That guy down there.
Then we have some Texas. Coach Sherry went to Texas.
Uh-huh.
And then Lauren goes to Texas.
Ask her if she likes Brent Venables.
And then the rest are still in high school.
Do you like Brent Venables?
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, so do I.
Do you go to the games?
Oh, what's that?
Do you go to the football games?
Do you go to the football games?
Yes, I do.
Do you date a football player?
You date a football player?
What?
You date a football player.
No, I do not.
Yeah, neither do I. All right. Look at this. What kind of shirt you wearing there?
This is a Cody Johnson concert shirt.
Okay. You a big Cody Johnson fan?
My friend invited me,
so
I just went.
She's a part of Kojo Nation.
Do you talk to the nation? I'm sorry. The headphones are breaking up. What are you saying?
If she's a part of Kojo Nation.
Oh, are you a part of Kojo Nation?
Sure.
She's not a part of Kojo Nation.
Tell her you haven't showered in 3 days.
I haven't showered in 3 days.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. What you eating there?
A taco.
Who?
A taco.
Okay, all right. Thank you. What's your name?
My name is Michael.
And what do you do, Michael?
Fun.
I swim, Michael Tobin.
Michael Dill what?
No, Michael Tobin.
Oh, Michael Tobin. Okay, you swim?
Yep, swim coach.
Are you a swim coach?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You look as young as the rest of them.
How are you a coach?
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Are you guys together?
No.
Oh, boy. Both of them really know on that one.
No.
Yeah.
Get him. He wants to be interviewed.
No. I'm talking to you right now.
Okay.
I'm talking to you right now. So what's the story with your life? What do you want to be when you grow up?
Maybe I'm about to be a senior in high school. So maybe want to enter the business, the finance area.
He's going
to
wind up like you.
Enter the business into the finance
maybe
area.
Something like that, yeah.
You know, your chances are you're probably going to wind up like me.
And you slept in your car
and
this weekend.
I slept in my car this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's kind of chill.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
I don't have a clean pair of underwear. Anyway, take care.
I will take care.
Let me talk to this guy over here. All right. What's your name, sir?
Luke.
Luke. What do you do, Luke?
I swim coach, so that's kind of...
Okay, I'm noticing there's more swim coaches than there are swimmers on this team.
The swimmers aren't quite here yet, so we're just setting up for the meet right now.
Who are they swimming against?
Who are you guys swimming against?
Our whole organization, a bunch of different country clubs from Dallas. We're doing a special relay meet.
Oh, it's a conference.
Tell them that's a conference, right?
Yeah.
Tell them you're bored by that.
I'm a little bored by that, but because I'm not an athlete, that's okay.
That's all right.
Were you involved in any other sports?
Well, I was a swimmer personally.
Tell them
that's
boring.
It's easy to come into this job, right?
It's a little boring to me, but that's okay.
I was too. I was the most outstanding swimmer
in Fairway in 1974.
1974. That's a long time ago.
It was a long time ago.
Triple my age.
No, it is. What kind of car are you driving these days?
Ford F-150.
Sweet.
Attaboy.
Can you fill up the back and swim in it?
I haven't tried that, but I feel like that's a good idea for the summer.
I don't know, just an idea. You know, another thing I want to tell you is
my underwear is leaking,
so I probably should get going.
Okay. Can I give a shout out?
Let's give a shout out.
I'm going to shout out James Larry. That's a real fan of the show right there.
James Larry.
Okay. That's my dad.
Two first names.
You know, they say never trust a man with two first names.
I know. So I got two first
names. Everything I said could be a lie right
now. That's true. What, you got a girlfriend these days?
I don't. I'm going to say no. No, I don't.
You're going to say no.
I don't.
Boyfriend?
I made it sound like I have something hidden.
Okay.
Nothing for me.
All right. I didn't know if you wanted to give her a shout out.
No.
Or him.
I don't know. Well, it is Pride Month, right?
Yeah, but, it is.
Tell him you're rebuilding your swing.
I'm rebuilding my swing right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. All right, that went nowhere. But anyway, all right, tell your dad hello.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Jeez. All right. Thank you. And what was your name again?
I'm Sherry.
Sherry, you're the coach.
I'm the head coach.
She went to Texas.
You went to Texas, right?
I did.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah. I know a lot about you already.
Hook 'em.
I need to be in love with you.
No.
No.
Tell her.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Coach-O-Nation.
Coach-O-Nation. All right, there's Gordo.
My hair is flying everywhere, going crazy, too.
See?
Yeah. Oh, we ran out of time to talk to you. I'm sorry.
Oh.
That's all right. I'll walk with you, though.
We're at Choctaw Casino and Resort in Durant, and Gordo has the wireless mic out talking to folks. Gordo, come in.
Yes, I just ran into a gentleman. What's your name, sir?
Bob.
What do you do for a living, Bob?
Retired.
What did you do for a living?
I was commercial construction superintendent.
Say it again?
Commercial construction superintendent.
Okay. Boy, you got a low voice.
I used to live in Dallas.
You did? You listened to the ticket, right?
Yeah, I used to live in Lakewood.
Where?
Oh, okay.
Lakewood.
Uh-huh. You know who those two guys are?
Yeah.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Who's the guy on the left?
Huh?
Who's the guy on the left?
I don't know. I can't see him.
Come on up here, Bob. Those are overalls, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I got out of dress clothes.
I want you to meet George.
How you
Dunham.
Doing, Bob? George. Very nice to meet you. Yes, sir.
Hi, Bob. Craig, how are you? Good to meet you.
Now, where do you live, Bob?
I live about 8 miles from here.
Uh-huh. What brought you up to Durant? From Lakewood.
Smallmouth bass.
Attaboy.
All right.
Out on Texoma? Is that where you catch them?
Yeah,
it's good fishing. And I always wanted to go to Fork and retire, and I ended up here because I got health care.
Okay.
Fork, you're dead in 30 minutes.
Not much health care out there.
No.
Wife, kids?
I got two girls. Grown, you know.
Uh-huh. Wife?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That 35-year one.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. My third one.
All right. What happened to the first one?
She didn't like my golf.
She didn't like too much golf. Yeah. Yeah. Playing down at Lakewood?
Huh?
Did you play at Lakewood?
No. Well, I was back when I lived in Ennis.
Were you on the PGA Tour?
No. Lowest I ever, closest I ever got was about a 3 handicap.
That's pretty good.
Yeah,
I quit playing 6 years ago.
Okay.
Can't break 80, it's no fun.
Yeah, that's what I always say. That's why I never start.
I hear you.
What about the second wife? What happened to her?
I don't know.
How long were you married to her?
Huh?
How long were you married to her?
5 years.
Yeah. That was the shortest one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like you got a good one now, 35 years worth. That's good.
Yeah.
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 All right,
yeah.
Bob.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Huh?
What's the craziest thing you've ever done?
Golly, I don't know. You know.
You ever killed someone?
No, not really. Almost, but not really.
Not really.
Yeah, I used to rodeo.
Oh, you did?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where in Texas?
Yeah, I went to college at Saul Ross.
Okay.
I rope caves and steer wrestling.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah.
You ever gotten a bad car accident or anything like that?
Nah, he's a good driver.
Boat accident?
No. I never had any of that.
You got a bass boat to get to those smallmouth
bass?
Yeah, bass
boat, yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah, an old one.
That's okay.
Can you sing us a song real quick?
It's got good electronics. Right.
Can you sing us a song?
No.
Bob's not a singer.
No, I can't do that. I gotta go.
No.
All right, Bob.
Yeah. 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 No, I've listened to y'all since you came on. Skip Bayless was there.
Oh, that's right.
Best thing you ever got rid of.
Well, hey, Dr. Yeah. That's what we say, too.
He hadn't talked to us since, Bob.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good. Kurt Menefee was good.
Yeah.
We go way back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I was building something on Central Expressway when y'all came on there.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you did the work on Central?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've done a bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been all over the country doing it, you know.
What's the deepest you can talk?
Ohio, California.
You were a commercial construction.
Yeah.
Okay. Talk really deep.
Huh?
Talk really deep.
Really deep? I don't know. How about
I? Go down like Johnny Cash.
Go down like this.
Yeah, enjoy y'all's show.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Thank you, Bob.
Appreciate
for holding it down out here.
Absolutely.
Durant.
He's listening to us. All right, come here. I want to talk to the security guy.
Oh, no.
I want to see, what's the craziest thing you've seen up here?
I can't talk about that.
Come on. You can tell us a little bit.
Nope.
Can't talk about
is it mainly drunks that you would have to clear out?
Yeah. Not on this shift, but yeah.
He's never had a problem with Bob, has he?
What's the worst shift?
For that, it would be second or third.
Second or third shift. None of that means anything to me. I don't understand that.
From 4 p.m. to 12 p.m. or 12 a.m. or 12 a.m. to 8 a.m. Yeah, so when the bar is closed.
And how long have you been doing security?
2 years now.
2 years. What did you do before this?
I was in the Air Force.
Air Force. Did you fly?
No.
No. Has he ever had to gun a man down?
Ever had to gun a man down?
No.
That's good.
Are you itching to?
No.
All right. And let me ask you this, if I could.
What do you think about Cooper Flagg?
I think he's a great ball player.
Yeah.
I think he deserved for rarely the first pick.
Mm-hmm.
It's not common that your actual first pick is actually your best player.
Enough.
And
yeah, that would be about good.
That's enough. So thank you, though.
I do want
you to know my underwear is leaking.
Okay.
Anyway,
why are you thinking
that was that guy that said that?
What?
That's
crazy.
If you're itching to gun a man down, I recommend him.
That was him.
All right, thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Yeah, for your service.
And your underwear. And your underwear
yes, and thank
everything.
You.
Okay. There's Gordo with the wireless. Man, I want to go hang out with Bob.
Bob was great.
He sounds good,
man. At first, I thought he was just, you know, small talk saying he listened to the ticket, but he really knew
the original lineup.
Bob. Love Bob.
Have gotten a little lost in the shuffle here during all the finals and sports and things, and we've got to stay on top of things, guys. That's why Daddy has to stop distracting Corby. We have a very important thing. He's going through his phone, just showing you random pictures of who knows what. during a live radio segment. I don't know how things work with those musers.
But yeah, not like this.
We are far more buttoned up than he's ready for. Anyway, so the Mavs still need a head coach. I don't know if you were aware of that.
I would imagine we are. That'll happen in the next week.
Mark Stein says Dallas is expected to speak to a dozen or so candidates, and they don't seem extremely pressed for time. Probably because, if we were to guess, they're not necessarily looking for a coach who wants to buy all of his own groceries.
Yeah.
And I would assume everybody's fine with that. I know I am. But I also will say that's a bit of a departure at times from, no, Carlisle wanted this or Jason Kidd wanted that. And it's very normal for coaches with some say in the matter to want some say in the matter. And then the coaches with no leverage whatsoever are like, well, I'll just coach whoever they get me. And if I were to guess, that's where more where we're leaning here is a coach who probably doesn't have a ton of leverage in terms of saying how things are going to be, because this is the Masai Ujiri, for better or for worse. I think it's for better, but I guess we have to see it. But his era got Mike Schmitz as his GM, his right-hand man, and they'll buy the groceries, and they will attempt to dictate what type of team this is. And then they'll find a coach that fits that model rather than the other way around.
And that would lead you to believe that it's going to be elevating an assistant elsewhere in the NBA or going to college and picking up a college coach.
Yeah, and if I had to bet in this post-Sean Sweeney world of ours, I do feel like looking at the Portland connections is worthwhile, with Ujiri a bit out of the game for a year, and I don't know what was remaining with Toronto ties, but I do know Terry Stotts has been a name that's front and center in both Portland and Dallas, and that does seem like a guy who will be a mover and shaker perhaps, and he's well respected, and we liked him very much when he was here last time. So I expect, how about this? I expect a Terry Stotts type guy.
Do you really?
But I don't know.
A safer hire?
Just probably someone a little further down the food chain of we want a coach to kind of see things our way.
Yeah.
Rather than tell us some, all his old war stories on how he wants it to be.
Well, okay, then what if you go in the other direction? And like Dave was saying, what if you do reach out and John Shire, or whatever type of John Shire there is in college, Dustin May, not Dustin May, who's the Michigan coach?
The Michigan coach you're speaking of is it Dusty May?
Dusty May, yeah.
Not Red Barons.
Yeah, not my baseball friend. If they told me that John Shire was going to be the head coach, I think I would be excited. I really do. Not because I think he's a great coach. I know nothing about him.
I was going to say, is he a great coach?
I don't know. I have no idea. He's not won the national championship in the last couple of years, and he's been the overwhelming favorite. I mean, he had Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple and couldn't win. Again, it doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things.
What about him attracts you except he's been to Duke?
You know, youth. And I do think that there is something to...
Yeah, if you're trying to build a roster around Coop and you're basically going to surround him with guys who are 18 to 22,
yeah,
then you want a guy who is equipped to talk to young players.
I love the youth aspect of Mitch Johnson. I think it's awesome.
I agree. I don't know.
You want to be safer?
Well, I don't want to be safer, but I do want to know that I'm hiring a coach not because he knows Cooper Flagg.
No.
I need a coach that is going to tell Cooper Flagg difficult things from time to time. And I want to know that you're not here to be his buddy, that you're here to be his coach. But to be fair, Rick Carlisle is as abrasive and adversarial as a coach you'll ever find, and he could communicate with Luka in a productive way, so I don't know.
Right, right.
I don't know. I mean, it's a very...
Stotts, to me, is not a retread name, but it's certainly not a name that would inspire me to be like, great, that's awesome.
Well, yeah, I just want competent, and I want a guy who's been in this league and has his own ideas.
See, I don't require him to be in the league. I really don't. I think basketball coaches now, with the way basketball is played,
May I defend it based on a hockey thing?
Yeah.
The Avalanche, if they fired Jared Bednar, which they decided not to, were going to hire a guy named David Carl. And the reason they were going to hire David Carl is because he's been at Denver University killing it with the Denver Pioneers. And the thought was, hockey's hockey, fresh ideas, hasn't been in the league, isn't corrupted, wouldn't it be great? And my pushback on that is, until you've dealt with a room of mega millionaires and earned at least their respect to take you seriously, I can't just assume. This was my issue with Neil Graham last year taking over the Stars versus Glenn Gulton. If every time you've coached, it's because you've been placed in authority over kids. That's just, Bob Knight used to tell us, he flirted with the NBA and then realized, I can't be in the NBA because I'm used to a certain authority structure that would not be in the NBA, and I just knew that wasn't right for me.
He couldn't choke out.
Well, fear is a motivator at time, and he coached like Darth Vader. I'm not saying you have to be a bully or anything like that.
It worked for Jim Montgomery.
But you also can't walk in a room and have never dealt – well, yes, and yes, there's some to that. I don't know what the line is, and some pass the test really well because they have great people skills, but I just think a college coach or a high school coach might be great at the next level up, but when you talk about guys who are making $50 million a season, you better have a little bit in your bag for them to take you seriously, or they just ignore you.
But isn't there a piece of that now with NIL? I mean, he's got a roster at Duke right now that's probably at $30 million, $40 million, and I get it. That's 1 year of one guy in the NBA. But it's still, you have to deal with these people that are suddenly, you know, at 19 or 18, just rich beyond their wildest dreams. At least now there is that component.
Yeah, and I'm not that worried about Cooper, but let's just say, like, Kyrie, who's somebody Kyrie would respect. Can you just hire anybody and Kyrie will just be like, hey, guys, this guy knows what he's talking about? Or do you kind of owe it to...
Kyrie's a short-timer, though.
Sure he is, but just use him as an example over Cooper Flagg because you're going to deal with all sorts of people. Anyway, I don't have a strong opinion about the coach. I don't even have a strong opinion about the coach before the draft because, like I said, I think...
I'll give whoever the benefit
Jerry
of the doubt.
Jerry has 100% of authority, and I don't think he's terribly interested in divvying that up too early.
Well, the other hot assistant, now that Sweeney has gone to Orlando, is Mike Anori with the T-Wolves. I don't know anything about him.
I don't either.
But he's the name that has been bandied about the most outside of Sweeney.
Yeah, there's a lot of names out there, too, that I'm not familiar with at all, and Mike Anori's one of them, and Royal Ivy is one of them, and Tony Dobbins is one of them, and Mark Stein's got a whole list of them, and I'm like, I know Terry Stotts. I know who he is. That's what it was with Sean Sweeney, right?
Totally.
All right, so in other news, just a couple things here, because I know we don't want to go too late here, but P.J. Washington's name has been in the rumor mill quite a bit, and most of the time it's on Oklahoma City is super interested in him. And Oklahoma City is another team with multiple picks in the top 17. I think they have 12 and 17. And they just don't have spaces for a lot of these guys. I know they're going to probably move on from somebody like Lou Dort this summer. And it feels like there's a guy or two who might be moved on. But for the most part, they don't need more draft guys.
Are the Mavs going to have like a half dozen rookies on the roster this year?
Well, I don't know because I don't even know where the quality is once you get to their second first rounder, which ironically is Oklahoma City's, right? Pick 30, right?
Yeah.
And so I don't even know what's down there. And then they have a second rounder. So they might have, they, Dave, your guess is as good as mine. All I know is Cooper Flagg's going to be on this team, because every time you hear Ujiri, he tells you this is all about Cooper Flagg. And then he mentions Kyrie enough to say, okay, Kyrie's probably here. All the other names, from Klay Thompson to PJ to Gafford, like, I'm not even sure he's said their name publicly yet. He probably has. But it sounds like they're going with a complete blank whiteboard.
Oh, yeah.
And just saying, if a trade of this guy helps us get closer to our goal, which, by the way, I would have Kyrie on that board, too.
Yeah. 100%. But I would have Derek Lively on that board.
But it doesn't sound like they do. It sounds like they're pretty committed to Kyrie, but maybe they're just pumping his tires. I don't know. How could we know? Which leads us to our last thing here real fast, which is the draft. And I'd like to think in the next couple of weeks we can start talking about these guys a little bit more when we have more time. But I don't even know what to look for, what they're looking for at number 9. I assume they want a guard, and I assume the names I'm looking at are the names they're looking at. But honestly, since everything means everything, it's so hard to get a read on them. I do know when you follow the draft media right now, there are names that are shooting up the board who are not fitting the profile. And if they go to 5 through 8, that's great news, because then it pushes one of those guards down to you, so you got some choices. You're not merely going with whoever's left of this group. But for all we know, maybe the Mavs are looking at a big. Maybe the Mavs are looking at a 6'10 dude or a 7'3 dude. Or, you know, you start looking at all those names that are basically on the consensus boards, like 10 through 20. How are we supposed to know what they're thinking?
I know.
And so
I know.
It's
all
pretty
I know
guarded.
Is,
there's no leaks, and your guess is as good as mine.
All I know is that when we were talking about it in the spring or in the tournament of Darius Acuff defensively has fallen so far down that he may end up being there for you at 9.
Yeah, his stock went up. He was up as high as 5,
yeah,
in some mocks, and now I guess it's falling back.
I think Wagler and Acuff are probably the most likely to be gone. And then you get to Flemings, Burries, and Brown. And it might be only one is left at 9, and that's the guy you take, although Brown's back issues have some people scared off.
Yeah.
But your guess is as good as mine. I've seen Flemings as high as 5, and I've seen him as low as like 15. Some people love Kingston Flemings. Some people are just like, yeah, I don't see it. Burry's kind of between 8 and 15, mostly in the 8 range, and I think he'd be great here. I
saw something that he's trying to angle his way here. That
he's a Rich Paul guy.
Yeah, that he's limiting his visits and trying to.
What do you do when you hear
guide his way here?
What do you do when you hear Rich Paul is trying to push his guy to Dallas? Are you happy or upset?
Not real happy.
So,
well,
looking at Burries and Flemings, they would both be great Mavericks. It seems like. From what I can see, and what do I know, but I just don't have any idea what Masai and Mike Schmitz are thinking, and they want it that way.
Yeah, 100%, as they should.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear anything from them.
And maybe the Mavs trade up.
San Antonio media side of things. Now, how about getting the Knicks media side of things? Joining us on the Ticket Hotline is their longtime legendary play-by-play announcer. He retired a couple of years ago, but he's still keeping up with things. We say good morning to the great Marv Albert. How
yes,
are you?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good to be on with you, George, Gordon, and Greg.
It's Craig.
I know. I was just fooling with you a little bit. I listen all the time. You guys are legends in the sports talk world, and truly an honor.
Well, thank you. And we've been thinking about you this whole Knicks-Spurs series.
Yes.
What must you be thinking as you're watching these games, and you must be loving this Knicks resurgence?
Well, it has been interesting. By the way, I hope you told Fernando I'm on this morning.
Yes.
You know, I have so many memories of Dallas, so it's good to be on in Dallas.
Yeah, what kind of memories do you have of, I guess it's big Mavs-Knicks memories you have in Dallas?
Yes, I do remember that. I remember Aguirre going for 48 one night, 18 in the fourth, and I also remember chasing a prostitute down a hallway at the Anatole while crying, dressed in a garter belt, taking a shot to the head from a wiffle ball bat that knocked my wig off.
Well,
not sure why you'd want to bring that up.
Yeah, I figured you didn't want us to bring that up. I'm kind of shocked that you bring it up.
Yes, well, it was a long time ago. But, you know, I'm 85 years young. I say that because I'm still as horny as a 13-year-old boy.
Okay, we don't need to hear that. This is supposed to be more of a feel-good interview. I just wanted to tell you it's great to hear your voice.
Thank you.
And I know there are a lot of Knicks fans that would love to hear you call the game tomorrow night.
Oh, well, it's nice of you to say something like that. But what you're suggesting is that I broadcast a game on network TV without any preparation, very little knowledge of the two teams, unfamiliar with pertinent stats. Who do you think I am, Tony Romo?
I knew you were going to take a shot there. Why are you taking a shot at Tony Romo?
Yes.
Well, game four was incredible.
Yes.
I'm sure you've never seen a comeback anywhere close to that, have you, in your career?
You know, I haven't. I was not at the Garden. I was at home watching, and stunning, absolutely stunning what happened. 29 points down, the Knicks, 20 points down with the 9.5 left, and I've thought about it a lot the last 2 days. The only real comeback I can think of that rivals what we saw the other night was my return to network TV calling games on NBC after being caught in a bizarre assault case that involved a threesome, a wild chase that ended on a settee in the lobby of the Adolphus.
Okay.
Once again, you keep bringing up
the only comeback that I can
that horrible,
really,
horrible
really
incident.
Of.
Because I think you bit the prostitute's buttocks and the teeth marks in her gluteus matched your Marv Albert janky teeth, right?
Yes. Very, very janky teeth that certainly bring new meaning to my very odd appearances on Sesame Street back in the day.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Yes.
But I think you also lost your toupee in that melee.
I did, yes.
And you were wearing women's underwear.
Yes.
And you were crying as you were running through the hall of the Anatole.
Well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I guess so, yes.
Okay, yes.
All right, can we focus on something positive? Like
okay,
the fact that we have you on today to talk about the Knicks and Spurs, but it's also your 85th birthday, 85 years old, Marv. That's exciting to reach that age and still be as sharp and into it as you are.
You know, it is, and it has caused me to reflect on my broadcast career and the Knicks, and here they have a chance to, you know, become champions for the first time since 73, and to celebrate that today, I will have lunch with Bernard King, Jeff Van Gundy, Walt Frazier, and Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson,
that was odd. The last one there.
I'm going to stream a video that Gordo actually alerted me to and sent me the link to. It's called Hot Melfs with Tall Two Guards, And then I'm going to buy a new toupee, and I'm going to order up a Patrick Ewing lookalike to stand behind me and treat me like the 85-year-old bitch that I am.
Okay. Oh, my God. Okay, Marv.
We don't need to hear any more of this, Marv. Thank you.
Good morning to you.
Thank you. There he goes. Legendary Knicks announcer Marv Albert giving us the New York side of this series. Just talked to Peter Welpton about the World Cup, which kicks off here in North America tomorrow in Mexico City at 2 o'clock. Of course, we'll have our Team USA watch party on Friday. We'll have our first match here in Dallas at Dallas Stadium on Sunday in Arlington. And joining us now on the ticket hotline is the other side of this. He's the chairman of the committee to get the World Cup out of Dallas. Good morning, sir. How are you? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Well, it's not that good a morning for me. It's Jackson Percolator.
Jackson Percolator. Jackson.
Yeah, but my friends call me Stubbs, which means you guys can call me Jackson.
Okay.
yeah, I'm the president and the chairman of the committee to get the World Cup out of Dallas. We need to get this thing out of the hell out of Dallas. I'm already annoyed and I'm already pissed off and offended that you guys had that Paul Welper on.
Peter Welpton.
That guy's a paid FIFA shill, and I'm at least glad you're offering someone with at least some sense equal time.
Okay. Well, it's a little late, isn't it, to get the World Cup moved out of this area?
Yeah, listen, Jack Wagon, I know this is kind of final hour. It is a little bit of a Hail Mary effort, but our organization is gaining momentum every second that we speak. Okay.
Okay.
Look, and I don't know if you noticed this, but you look over there at Los Angeles, okay? That U.S. versus Paraguay match in L.A., it's not a sellout, okay? They didn't sell that thing out. It's already failed.
Oh.
The world is caught on here.
Well, I mean, there's only like 100 tickets left or something like that.
Yeah, but that's not a sellout, okay? Listen to my words. Listen to what I say. All right, get the mud out of your ears.
Okay, I heard you.
Freaking donkey. Listen. Listen, we at the committee to get the World Cup the hell out of Dallas have posted our 10 reasons the World Cup needs to leave.
Okay.
We posted them on the front door of the condo that the FIFA president is staying in Uptown. You know, it's kind of like when Martin Luther King Jr. posted his 95 feces on the door of the Castle Church in Wittenberg, Alabama, back in 1563.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Just like that, yeah. And we posted our 10 reasons, and I think that all these are valid reasons.
Okay, right. Well, go ahead.
Well, reason number one, soccer sucks, okay?
Okay, now.
Get it through your skull. Everyone knows it. No one likes it. It's a dying sport. It's stupid. You can't use your hands. You look stupid while doing it. There's way too much running around for so little true action. Scores are too low. Soccer sucks.
It has its problems, but I wouldn't say that. That's not fair.
Reason number two, it brings in undesirables, all right?
Okay.
Look, the people who actually like soccer are the same ones that drive under the speed limit in 30-year-old Corollas with mismatched panels. All right?
Okay, now you don't know that.
They don't pay taxes. They suck up all our health care. I'm not pointing any fingers, but if I was, they'd be pointing south.
Okay, look, come on.
If it offends you, if this offends you, I invite you to email me at couldn'tcarelessatidontgiveacrap.fu. All right?
Okay.
Number three, any soccer team without Pele or Stallone's character from the movie Victory is a crap team. Okay? Oh,
well, now.
That's so outdated.
Those are the only two people I want to see playing soccer. All right, number four, the World Cup in Dallas, it's pulling focus from the Texas Rangers. All right?
Well, and
the Dallas Mavericks, and hell, even the Dallas Wings.
No,
I disagree. Mavericks aren't even playing right now.
I don't care. I don't care. It's still pulling focus away from our local teams, not to mention the beloved Dallas Cowboys, okay? That's the team that this whole Metroplex was founded on, all right? John Neely Bryant founded that organization, all right? His first act when he became the mayor of Dallas was to hire Tom Landry.
I don't think that's correct.
Yeah, your timeline screwed
Number
up.
Number five. This is non-consensual sports foisting, and we all know it. Okay?
What?
We didn't get to vote on this. This is foisting the sport on us.
What?
And it's non-consensual. The citizens of DFW had no say in bringing the sham of an event to the Metroplex.
Not a sham of an event.
Yes, it is. Listen, ding dong. Listen, ding dong. It is a sham of an event. This was all done in secret. It's the product of collusion between the DFW deep state and big soccer.
Wow.
All right?
Okay. Well,
and there's a few of us that know it.
Well, FIFA is, they're a little creepy. I will grant you that.
See, all right. See, you're starting to think. You're starting to use your own brain. You're doing your own research. I like this. I like what I'm hearing right now.
I'm not so sure. I totally trust the
reason
FIFA.
Number six. I don't care what you say. Growing grass indoors is taunting the Old Testament God, and we all know it.
It's a little weird. I'll give you that.
You can't have grass indoors. It's against the laws of nature. and believe me, we will be smited if we allow this to continue.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
Number seven, the inconvenience to students. What if you're taking a summer class at UTA and you can't get there on Sunday because of all these cars streaming in from the Netherlands and Japan? This
okay.
Fraud of a match we got this weekend.
All right, I think they could probably work that out, but okay.
Number eight, soccer sucks.
Okay,
you already used that yourself.
How hard of a sport can it be when you don't even have to wear a helmet to do it, okay? And number nine, the reason that we at the committee to get the World Cup the hell out of Dallas have is they painted over the Weiland mural downtown. All right, that's an act of war.
Okay, all right, I'll give you that.
Not because I really want to save the whales. I could care less. They could all die for all I care. But you don't paint over an American work of art just to welcome David Beckham to Dallas. Is he playing? I don't know.
I don't believe he's playing. He's long retired.
And number 10, the women who are into soccer aren't hot, okay? They're ugly. They're fat and ugly, okay? Look in the stands at a soccer match. It's a sausage fest.
I don't.
We're basically importing homosexuality at this point.
All right. Now, you are just.
All right.
Jackson,
you don't sound we have like enough problems with homegrown homosexuality? Now we got to invite all this international dong love in here. Hey, it's time to get the World Cup out of Dallas.
There's no way you have much support. And
Jackson,
this is
percolator out.
Okay, there goes Jackson. He's running out of steam.
Who knows what we will see? It should be a strange and wild scene in San Antonio tomorrow. And joining us now in the Diamond Factory ticket hotline is the longest tenured TV anchor in San Antonio. He's been at WOAI Channel 4 for 37 years. He's seen a lot of Spurs basketball in that time. He was in New York City for games 3 and 4. He's also our old college buddy, our former teammate on the West Hall Hoopers.
Oh, yeah.
And our great friend, Don Harris. Morning.
Morning, fellas.
How's it going?
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Thanks for joining us, and I know you had a wild trip up to New York and back, and I saw some of your posts on social media. What was that scene like, in particular, the craziness around Game 4, both in the arena and then outside the arena and back at the team hotel?
So I've covered the NBA Finals since 1999. I've been to like 25 All-Star games. Like you guys, we've been to numerous Super Bowls. I've never seen anything like this. I was at the arena on game day. Usually we go over there for a shoot around in the morning and then go back to the hotel and edit and work and then go back to the game in the nighttime, 4 or 5 in the afternoon for the game. We had to be in the arena locked down from 9:30 in the morning, and I left at 1:15 in the morning.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
After the game. Yeah. And – you had to be – so let me just put it this. This is the easiest way I can sum it up. Secret Service guy opened the lid on my chapstick in my shaving cap.
Holy smokes.
They went through everything. And they did that for 20,000 people. And so there wasn't a single person in a good mood at game 4. Knicks fans were mad because they end up losing, but they were inconvenienced because the president was there. The players, De'Aaron Fox made comments about how inconvenienced they were. Their bags had to go through certain stuff. The buses had to go through, had to get there earlier. They threw off the schedules of the players playing the game because of the president's visit. So it was a madhouse.
Did you see, as the Spurs are just taking it to them in the first half and for parts of the third quarter before it started to fall apart, could you see people leaving, I would imagine. They were so far behind.
Yeah, now, what I was talking about was game 3. Game 4, the president didn't go. It was much more regular game day. But, yeah, the Spurs came out fired up and firing away from three-point land. And I didn't see anybody leave, but I saw a lot of very depressed New Yorkers sitting around. I think they were going to wait. I think those seats were too expensive to leave. You're going to sit there and watch what happened no matter what. I think they would have left mid-third quarter had they not started to chip away. But New York fans are so different than any fans anywhere else. We're seeing that after the game when, you know, you saw the viral videos of them throwing eggs at Wemby. And, you know, the Spurs were heckled when they first got to town. You come to the team hotel, and there's a mob of people outside. You don't see that in any other city.
No.
Where there's a mob of fans, you know, heckling the team. But afterwards, we really – I never fear for my safety. We had to walk the 8 blocks back to our hotel, and it was – it was like New Year's Eve in Times Square. It was nuts.
Wow. And
there was cops everywhere. I mean, 4 or 5 police officers on every corner, all 4 corners of an intersection, with the helmets and the batons and all that kind of stuff, riot gear.
It's like a war zone. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And then after,
which the whole city of New York is now. We've gone back to Snake Plissken and the Warriors in the 70s with New York City.
Escape from New York.
It is awful. It is. I used to love going to New York City, and you know I can handle the big city and the crowd and the, but New York City is dirty, and it is graffiti, and it is unfortunately homeless, and. You know, I don't know how you guys feel about legal marijuana, but everywhere you go on the streets of New York, it's all you smell. It's all you smell. People are smoking it right in front of cops, which is legal. So,
yeah,
you know, they don't care. But I mean, there's just smoke everywhere, and the pungent smell of skunk is everywhere. It's kind of it was kind of disgusting.
Well, it sounds like New York is coming to San Antonio for game 5. 50% of the tickets being sold are sold to New York or New Jersey zip codes. What do you think that scene is going to be like tomorrow night for game 5 with even more Knicks fans there and with what has to be a shell-shocked Spurs team and crowd?
Yeah. You know, when we saw the Knicks fans here, I was shocked. After they won game 2 and you saw the fans that hung around behind Charles Barkley and those guys on the TV postgame show, I knew there were a lot of fans in the building from New York. I didn't know there were that many. They all congregated and came down from the upper deck and celebrated. It was 4,000 or 5,000 of the 16,000-17,000 at the Frost Bank Center. It's going to be more than that. And we've asked the Spurs about their ticket resale policies and all of that. There's nothing they can do. What's happening is you got a lot of Spurs season ticket holders who are selling their tickets to Knicks fans because they can pay for their whole season with one game here now at the end because New York fans are willing to pay ridiculous prices. So I guess in that regard, you can't really blame the Spurs season ticket holder because they're making huge profits all this with just one game, and they can watch it at home on TV. But at the same time, it's very unfortunate for the Spurs that they're not going to have a home court advantage because it's going to be, you know, and if it's 50-50, it's really 90-10 because New York fans are that much louder.
Yeah. This is our buddy Don Harris from WOAI-TV in San Antonio. Game 5 tomorrow night, the NBA Finals, Spurs and Knicks. You're around this team. You've been around them. You've seen them progress. It's a pretty amazing story from where they were last year, making it through the Oklahoma City series, and now to this. But after that collapse the other night, what do you think they're going to show tomorrow night, the Spurs? How do you think they do bounce back? How do you think they respond to whatever that was the other night?
It's so weird to try to analyze this team. You know, we've had these huge, huge kicks in the gut before with the Mavericks. Remember Manu fouling Dirk?
Yeah.
that series was over. But when Derek Fisher hits .4 in a game five, they go out to L.A., and you knew they would just be flat because that was such a gut punch that they couldn't respond. Ray Allen's shot in 2013 was in a game six. People forget about that. They played game seven the next night, and the Spurs had a chance to still win the championship, but they couldn't recover from the emotional letdown of a play that big. The emotional toll that the other night took, I would think, would be too much for them to recover. At the same time, these kids are just so young and dumb enough that just they could win the next three. They've never been there. They don't seem to process things normally like most teams. They're absolutely fearless. Harper, Castle, Wemby, those guys, they're so confident. They're so cocky. They step on the court every night thinking they're the best team. They still think they're the best team. They had a lead in the last 2 minutes of all four of these games. They've had 10-point leads in all four of these games. You can't convince them that they're not better than the Knicks, even after that meltdown. And so I have no idea what to expect tomorrow night. I would not be surprised if the Knicks run them out the gym and celebrate a championship for the first time in 50 years in New York. And I would not be surprised if the Spurs ran the Knicks out of the gym and went back to game six. It's just they're that hard to predict. Who saw them winning 6 and 7 against Oklahoma City after Wemby was so awful in game five?
Right. Yeah.
They beat the Thunder in that game and then go beat the defending champs in a game seven on the road? I mean, nobody saw that. So I have no idea. I would not predict it in a million years. All I know is if we go back to game six in New York, I'll be taking my four-wheel suitcase.
Yes, we've all embraced that now, the four-wheeled suitcase. Yes.
When you got back yesterday from New York and you're back in San Antonio, was the city blaming Mitch Johnson or De'Aaron Fox or Wemby, or was it just a collective disgust that they had with everybody? Who's taking the brunt of what happened in game four?
I think you're right. It's those two more than anybody else. It's Fox and Mitch Johnson. There's plenty of blame to go around, but you know, when you've got kids who your best three players are 20, 21, and 22, there's got to be an adult in the room, and those two guys are supposed to be the adults in the room. And Mitch let that get away. I love Mitch Johnson. I think he's a really good coach, and I think he's going to be. But you got to remember, this is his rookie year too, for the most part, especially being on this level. He had three or four times where he could have used timeouts to stop the bleeding and did not. I heard one person say Pop would have called timeout two or three different instances and said, all right, next guy who shoots a three-pointer, I'm going to strangle or trade. and that would have happened, but he let that get away. They missed 9 straight three-pointers in the second half. And they were bad shots. They were just trying to land a knockout punch. And you know, when you have a lead like that, you want to get to the line and run clock. And De'Aaron Fox was just horrible. Yeah. I mean, it's not just a play at the end of the game. He dribbled two balls off his foot. He had two horrible turnovers where he got up in the air and threw it. And Josh Hart missed the one layup that would have pretty much put the game away. But that was a horrible turnover too. He had a bad three late, and it's kind of surprising because he's the clutch player of the year. He's supposed to be your 28-year-old with these young kids, and so that's a little hard to figure, but this is also his first foray into a deep playoff run. He only made the playoffs once with Sacramento Kings, and I heard somebody say you can take, you know, De'Aaron Fox out of Sacramento, but you can't take the King out of him, and that's kind of what happened.
Yeah, you've covered the Spurs for a long time. I guess your list, we'll see what happens in the rest of the series, but your list of incredible sporting events I've ever covered, game four has to be up there. I mean, I don't know, maybe you start there. What you saw the other night is historic and it's one of the craziest things anyone's ever seen.
Yeah, and you know what's crazy is – the celebrity aspect of it is unique. I mean, we've been to L.A. and the Spurs had legendary wars with Shaq and Kobe, and you know, we've seen Jack Nicholson and all those celebrities at Laker games. It was nothing like this. I kind of think of it like this. James Dolan is the dorky kid in high school that nobody liked, but whose dad had a mansion and a killer pool party, and so he invited all the cool kids over so that he could be accepted. He invites all the cool kids to the game, and there was probably a list of 100 of these old Knicks and movie stars and music and entertainment. And I mean, isn't Larry David supposed to be a Laker fan? I've seen Curb Your Enthusiasm. He's a season ticket holder.
That's
he is.
Right.
Yeah. We've seen that documentary. Yeah.
He's on the first row of the Knicks fans, acting like he's the biggest Knicks fan in the world. So yeah, it was absolutely surreal. The meltdown was surreal. The celebration was fun to watch in a way. Just because, you know, I know the history of New York and, you know, we remember those legendary Dave DeBuscher teams and all that. And they haven't won since then. And so it's kind of cool to see New York this close. But at the same time, it wasn't as bad as Ray Allen's shot in Miami, but it's number two as the second worst moment in Spurs playoff history. I think Craig would agree. Craig's as much a Spurs historian as I am, but
yep,
yeah, it's
I
right
agree.
There at the top.
Yeah, Ray Allen was more of a – it was such an immediate gut punch where this was a slow burn, and this was almost confusing what was unfolding, where the Ray Allen thing was just a gut punch.
Yeah, this was a slow torture as it went from 19 to 15 to 12 to 9 to 5, and you're just like, are you serious? And still, you thought the Spurs probably – had the best chance to win until OG Anunoby flew in for the tip-in.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Hey, if we put our intramural team from North Texas back together and they played the second half instead of the Spurs, could we have held that 29-point lead?
I don't know, because we were such bad coaches because we played such iso ball with 7-footer John Horrocks. We were the only intramural team with a 7-footer who couldn't figure out a way to win.
True.
Yeah, we tried every possible way to win and just couldn't. Probably because we made ourselves too big a part of the team. That's probably why we didn't win enough.
I think we were more worried about making sure that our play-by-play voice, David Burrell, would show up, and that the media guide that we typed up was,
the important things.
That's right.
All right, Don, thanks for the time. Glad you're back safely from New York. Who knows what we're going to see tomorrow night, but enjoy whatever it is we see.
Can I say this real quick? A, I love you guys, and B, I am so proud of your success in Dallas. You guys are the best. I listened to the podcast, and who saw coming in those college dorm days and apartment days at Ramsgate that you guys would be Radio Hall of Famers and the greatest show in the history of Dallas-Fort Worth?
Uh-huh.
My heart swells with pride for you guys.
Wow. Thank you,
Don. Look at you, the big TV star of San Antonio.
Yeah, when we were on the Ramsgate couch eating meatball sandwiches watching St. John's and Villanova, who knew you'd have a 37-year run at Channel 4 in San Antonio? So we're just as proud of
Absolutely.
You.
Absolutely.
Well, we're all blessed to come from the great Bill Mercer and come from a place where they fostered sports and sports journalism, and God bless the late, great Bill Mercer.
Amen.
Yes. All right, love you, brother.
See you, Donnie. Love you.
Okay,
bye-bye. Smell it all up.
There he goes.
Smell it.
Don Harris, Channel 4 in San Antonio. He's been covering the Spurs forever, so we got the Spurs.
It's 5:22. This is Thursday. That makes this the Rant Revival. Every week at this time, it is the three horsemen of the rant reuniting to achieve their full power. Gen X Davey, Corby the Snake, and ladies and gentlemen, the one and the only, the Honorable Gordon Keith. Brought to you by...
Thank you.
Eatsy's Market and Bakery.
Thank you, Eatsy's.
So here they are.
Thank you, Gordon. Are you familiar with the story of Natalia Grace?
That sounds familiar.
There have been documentaries about her and dramatizations, but she has a bone growth disorder. She was adopted from the Ukraine.
The little monster girl.
Yeah, and the people that adopted her thought she was...
She's a lady now.
Thought she was six.
And she's 58.
But she was an adult.
Yeah. She was a big open carry bitch.
And it's still...
Get rid of that.
It's still up for debate as to how old she actually is.
I was like 10 when I said that. Yeah, they don't even know, right? Like, assumption is late 20s, early 30s.
They were trying to, you know, they were trying to look at her dental records and...
Can't they carbon date her?
No, they can't. They can't cut her open and count the rings or anything like that. But the reason I bring it up is because there's a similar story that happened in Brazil. So police in Brazil have reported a bizarre identity fraud case. The suspect is named Amanda Maria Souza de Oliveira.
Okay. Nailed it.
Her identity fraud scheme began with tricking the pastor of a church in a small town in Brazil. And she convinced the pastor that she was a 12-year-old girl named Gabriella who had run away from an abusive family. And so she gained the pastor's trust. He introduced her to the congregation, and the congregation gave her financial assistance. And they referred her to a local family who then took her in. And so she, posing to be 12, is actually 37.
Jeez.
And so she would maintain a childlike image. She would drink milk out of a baby bottle and use a pacifier to relax and request a comfort blanket to fall asleep at night.
I just don't know. Wait, 12-year-olds are doing that?
Yeah, I don't think she had her story straight.
I don't really get that.
She also would use a high-pitched voice, and she would pretend to have night terrors about her abusive father.
He's so awful.
Like Buster Bluth.
Help me.
And so people weren't sure how the family could fall for all this, but she claimed, because she definitely didn't look 12. But
what, did she look 36?
Somewhere in between, but she definitely didn't look like a teenager. And she claimed that when she was a child in her former home, she was forced to take hormones, which affected her physical appearance, and also that the years of abuse from her father had taken a toll on her. Okay. So that's why I look like I do. And so the family believed her. And they showered her with love. They planned to adopt her. They threw her a 12th birthday party. They paid for obesity medication.
Was she?
She's a big old fat person.
Was she?
Well, she was chunky.
She can rape me.
Chunky.
Stout?
Yeah, she was stout. But a relative of the family, I guess somebody that was maybe invited to the 12th birthday party and was looking at her like, no way, that they reported the case to the police. And they were like, can you please check into this girl? We're not buying this story. And our relatives are just buying it hook, line, and sinker. And they're paying for everything. And so eventually they discovered not only that she was a 37-year-old adult, but that she had pulled this similar stunt a couple times before.
Same gal.
Yeah. That she had impersonated a 12-year-old girl that had been subjected to witchcraft rituals, and that she sold that story by poking more than 100 metal needles into her skin to make it look like she had been tortured.
How weird.
Yeah, so now her attorney has said, well, she needs a psychiatric evaluation.
No way, you think?
She might be suffering from a mental illness and might not be responsible for her actions.
Okay.
But she's a minor, so they can't prosecute
her
for this.
No, actually, she's actually 37.
Yeah, she just turned 71.
We used to talk about that, not that we could pass for 12, but remember, we used to, when we were in our...
Late 20s,
like 27-ish.
Yeah.
We were like, could we just pick up and move, fake a transcript, and transfer and say that we are transferring in as a junior to like Ole Miss?
Well,
and pass ourselves off as like a 20-year-old.
All I remember is Ole Miss.
Yeah.
Why are we so focused on Ole Miss?
Just
because
it was a random school where no one would possibly know us.
Yes, because there's no internet back then, or there was a, you know, it was a very crude version of it and no photos circulating. And the answer is yes. 27 instead of 22.
Yeah, I mean, we've recently had the guy that faked that he was like 16 and he was like 27 to play basketball and to bang high school chicks.
Jeez. Mm. I think until you're like 32, I think you could probably pass for college. If nobody knew anything and you're like, yeah, I'm 22. Or
if you're keeping it together.
Yeah.
Some people, they fall off a cliff after like the age of 25.
Hey. I don't think there's any way that we at the age of 27 could have passed this 22.
Yes, we could have. Dude, have you seen those? Yes, we could have.
Corby and I were the biggest Peter Pans in the world
at
that point.
We were babies.
How old was the guy who was playing for Texas? Do you remember that?
Texas basketball?
No, I think
football.
I think Longhorn football. And he was like 30-something.
What?
Rudy.
Are you talking about like way back in the day? Or
like he had faked.
He was faking his age.
Oh, okay.
Like the 95 Longhorns he played on.
And it
so
worked?
He did. He did exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah, we could have been football stars too.
Let's see.
We could have gotten a full ride to Texas.
It says he was 30 and he was not caught until a reporter ratted him out the day before the 95 Sugar Bowl.
Golly, and he was playing?
Yeah. The Longhorns lost to Virginia Tech in that one.
Was it Craig Way that busted him?
Coach John Makovic and other officials claimed to know nothing of the fraud until he was caught. Then they sniffed him out.
Sniff out a fraud.
I do think that they're... Like, Bob, you would have had to wear like a... Like a fresh toupee, because you've already shaven your head.
Yeah, you would have had to find the hair transplant guys that Dude Perfect use,
or Landon Donovan.
But then, like,
yeah, didn't they have questions about you, Bob, in junior high?
Junior,
I thought you were a middle-aged man.
I never probably looked my age back then.
But do you think
a little older?
Do you think, Gordon, that
7 feet tall?
If we did go back to college at 27 or 28 or whatever it was, but then, like, look, the only stipulation is you've just got to keep up with your grades.
No way.
Could that have happened?
I couldn't do it then.
I know, but you're older now. Like, you're more mature and responsible.
No,
is he?
I'm stupider.
Yeah, you've forgotten everything that you learned the first time in college.
But mm-hmm. Do you think that you could get through 15 hours of college in a semester?
No.
That would be torture.
Yeah.
Reading textbooks.
Oh.
Taking notes. Writing papers.
I barely read them back
then.
Did
you? I wish that you would have recorded, Gordon, your mom jumping on your ass about studying. Have you done your homework yet? You say you have, but I know you haven't.
Every night was a battle. It was miserable. School was miserable for me.
Was your brother that way too, or was he a better student?
No, he's a better student. So was my sister. They were both pretty good.
But your mom would interrogate you to see if you actually had homework?
Yeah, up until about the ninth grade, and then she gave up.
Did you have to show it to her?
Yeah, at first I did.
Were they upset with you?
I lied the first 100 times.
Go get it and show it to me.
Just a blank piece of paper with a butt on it or something.
Yeah.
I'm drawing butts. So
just a butt with a turd being pinched off.
That's my homework.
I didn't know what to do, so I just drew this.
That's the way I interpreted the foil method.
Was she upset with your whole graduation fiasco that it was late and you had to like go back to school? And
yeah, she cared about it a lot more than I did.
Isn't that funny how parents do? Like, you're like, look, if I don't care about it, why do you care about it?
Yeah, I was like glad that I didn't. Now I won't feel pressure to go to that stupid ceremony. Walk the stage. I don't want anything to do with that.
One of the biggest grifts in all of adolescence is the graduation. From high school, from college, from preschool. It is just such a money-making scam of gathering everyone. And, oh, man, don't even get me started on it.
So you were
don't get him started, Gordon.
So you weren't part of
I'm thinking about getting him started.
Don't.
You weren't part of your regular graduation, Gordon?
I've only had one graduation in my life, and that was when I graduated kindergarten.
Isn't that awesome?
That's it. That's when I peaked. That was the most success I ever had.
So did you have to go to summer school or get your GED? What did you do?
Went to summer school after our senior year of high school and had to take an algebra class there and then pass that and then got my diploma from a supply closet up at the school like sometime that next year. Like I went back up there and said, hey, I need to get my little folder that has the thing that said I graduated in it. They go, oh, I think that we got them in this closet in here.
Here's a blank one. Just put your name on it.
So yeah, is this like you can write your name in there?
Is this a precursor to you always like filing for an extension on your taxes? Like you just just can't really make your deadlines.
Wait, you have to pay taxes every year? I thought it was a one and done thing.
And you just file an extension just out of principle, right?
Do you think that you are perpetually in the bottom three of people to watch their training videos on time at work?
Oh my gosh, yes. There was a panic yesterday getting that done.
You
feel to call someone in Atlanta to unlock my account. Because I have not logged into my
they run it all.
Email.
Because you've not logged into your company email in like 6 months.
Yeah. Well, now he's
at least 6 months.
Now he's got another deadline looming because you have to fill out that form to be able to drive to remotes.
What?
Yeah.
The annual check of your driving record.
Yep.
Just please, just let me do radio and not do paperwork.
Seriously.
What are all these hoops I have to jump through?
Oh, love the emails. Like, get it done now. And then there's a list of names that I'm like.
And it's always Gordon.
Always.
It's the usual stuff.
Well, I'm on there too. I am no better, dude. I am awful at it. I probably get it done one day before you do. I'm just as useless when it comes to that stuff.
They should just send out the exact same list every time. It's the same thing.
I never see the emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you locked out of your Cumulus email?
Yes. I don't know how to get in there.
Yeah, send Gordon another threatening email to get his stuff done. Yeah, he's not going to see it, so what's the difference?
I don't see him.
You have to use his Cool Link account. To
there's no one who's been threatened by their own company more than me.
This is it.
It's a good thing you're bulletproof.
Constantly have a gun to my head telling me I need to finish watching some video or training module.
Fat lady and a guy with a turban.
With the most obvious information of all time.
Yes. You need to watch that video that tells you not to shoot people at work.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, let me
Cumulus Station.
Go and learn how not to do that.
Or tell the girl that opens the fridge and bends over. You can't say, that's a pretty good ass you got there, sugar.
Yeah, you're not allowed to ask the pregnant lady at work.
Do you know the
married?
Father?
Apparently that's not involved.
And then the question at the end, because you have to take an exam, would always be, is this appropriate behavior? And they'd be like three
true
scenarios.
Or false.
Yeah. What? Yeah, Steve shot up the whole office. Is this appropriate?
What is this a good way to resolve conflict?
If you see Steve shooting up the office, you should go directly to HR. Call the police
about it.
What attributes make it okay to discriminate?
See, pick up your own gun and help him.
Love it. All right, we got to go.
Can I ask a question?
No, you can't. We got to go. Twitch tonight.
Can I ask something, please?
You're twitching tonight in a couple hours.
Get
so.
Gordon a shot, oh, please.
Can I ask a question?
And we'll see you tomorrow. We'll see you tomorrow at Summer Chill. Don't forget about that.
Yes, twitch.tv/actualgordonkeith tonight, 7:35. See
All
you
right.
there.
Love you, Holmes. We'll see you. There he
Love
goes.
You.
Gordon
Bye.
Keith.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.
What would you do if your online store converted 36% more shoppers? You could take 36% more vacation.
Another pina colada?
Yes, please.
Open a new retail location with 36% more square feet.
Fantastic.
Hire 36% more help.
You're hired and you're hired.
Shopify has the world's best converting checkout, up to 36% better than other e-commerce platforms. What you do with those extra sales is up to you. Switch to Shopify today at shopify.com/listen and get a $1 trial. Shopify.com/listen.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.
At The Zebra, we save you money on auto insurance. Like Jessica, who saved hundreds.
Small weekend, here I come.
The Zebra monitors your insurance and alerts you of savings. Find out how much you can save at thezebra.com. Savings will vary. Not all will save.
Once again, The Ticket presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Before we do anything, I'd like to sing happy birthday to Mike Mayock. You guys ready? Happy birthday to you.
And now, here are your hosts, Sean Bass and David Mino.
I didn't. Good point. Fun times today. Sweet spot. And at 2:58, the Ham Sisters.
Thank you, Mino. Eatsy's Market Bakery and Gimme the Vim brings you El Monto.
Gracias, Ham.
De nada.
If you had two legs, would you choose the Mexican national team to play for?
Ooh.
What? Why does he need two legs to play for the Mexican national team? Why can't he play with one?
Well, because the U.S. team would take me. They need all the help they can get.
True.
But to make Mexico, I'd need dos.
Dave's trying to say that their interest dissipated considerably when they found out he had
When they finally sent the scout up north.
Yeah. By the way, Monty.
Monty tries to do a scissor kick in the wheelchair.
A scissor kick. In honor of your dog today, your dog story, I wore my shirt.
Yeah, everything was wet except the dog.
Wet dog.
Wet dog.
Not even his paws?
Her paws were wet, but everything around her was more wet.
Did you see wet dog at Hangout?
No.
Hangout?
Wet dog is a Lakewood friend band.
Oh.
I don't think they were playing Hangout. Yet. Yet.
Yeah,
big aspirations.
Yeah. Not
get
that
the
attitude.
Hangout crew back together. It's been too long.
I know.
Just about shut the station down.
But I think the music now is just so electronica. Yeah. And
take some drugs.
X-y.
So is this the London-based all-female post-punk trio?
No. Is there another band called Wet Dog?
Yeah, but it's just one word, Wet Dog.
Okay. Well, this is space.
There's no space.
Wet Dog.
Wet Dog. Fighters.
Foo Fighters.
Oh, Hangout 2026 got canceled anyway.
Oh.
Because of COVID?
Because I guess if you guys aren't there propping it up.
Yeah.
We have a lineup for next year.
Maybe Donnie had a ticket.
Okay.
He is good to get shows canceled. So good call. Anyway, they are the hard line. Bob, Corby, Dave. And it's nice to be filled with national pride. It's nice to be able to watch your team do good. You know?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite player on Mexico?
Probably the one that looks the most like me, the goal scorer.
That guy's black.
It's probably Juan.
Mark. Jeez.
It's the fact that you can hear the hate.
No hate. I'm just saying.
You turn that around now.
You hit that last syllable hard.
That was so pointed.
I got my eyes on Mexico. Let me tell you something.
That was very black. Norm Hank Aaron, but he's black.
Good American black. Name.
You just hear the Jim Crow.
Goodness
I just
gracious.
Don't know if I'm accepting the fact that the guy that's like...
What about the American
6'3 and really in shape, unlike the other guys on the Mexican team.
God.
What do you mean? They're not in shape or 6'3"?
They just don't look like him.
Now do South Africa.
Well, they got Tom Gribble.
Would you have been more surprised if a guy for South Africa looked like Danny Trejo?
Yes.
Wait till you see how many brothers Germany runs out there. That'll really blow your mind.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Not a whole lot of them look like Adolf's vision.
No, he would be upset.
Today is Thursday, June 11th, the 162nd day of 2026. 203 days are left in the year. It's National Corn on the Cob Day.
Yeah, a little
overrated.
So
go get your little corn on the cob holders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stick them in and go to town.
We all had them.
Because you can't just hold the ends of
corn.
What are we, animals?
But, you know, Taheen kind of changed the corn on the cob game.
Was it good when my dad would literally slather like a stick of butter on his corn?
You got to do it.
Delicious. Yeah.
I'm like, are you offsetting the nutrients that the corn provides?
I treat mine
as not a vegetable.
With a stick of butter?
Just filler.
It's like a butter sandwich.
I do sweet corn on the cob, and I bake it like sweet tea.
Oh.
Just douse it in sugar and lemon.
That guy's black.
You're the worst play-by-play man.
Let's play the game.
I don't think Arlo White said that.
Timothy Weah.
I don't think you're going to be joining Mike Breen anytime soon.
Charles Barkley.
That guy's black.
Corby's just completely black.
And our color analyst after the goal.
Our NBA playoff analyst, Corby Davis.
It sounds like the rest of us are debating someone's skin color and Corby comes in to correct us.
Right. That guy's black.
Oh.
It's his only analysis as he's doing color commentary.
Anything else? Nope.
He's on the Telestrator.
You can fill in the rest.
Just circling all of his skin. On this date, in the year 1184 BC.
Like anyone could even know that.
It's before cheese.
They weren't even writing stuff down. They didn't even know how to write the word cheese.
Troy was sacked and burned during the Trojan War.
That ain't me, daddy.
So they had this horse in there, and they're like, nice gesture. Appreciate it. This is a cool little set piece. Lo and behold. On this date in the year 1955, in motor racing's worst disaster, more than 80 people killed during the 24 hours of Le Mans in France when two cars collided and crashed into spectators. Mm.
They didn't realize that police tape wasn't a good thing to separate the crowd and the cars with. Or hay.
Just a couple of tires.
Yeah.
It probably sounded like that Final Destination scene. Class? No.
Thumbs down.
It's a little different. Not Le Mans. This is Le Mans.
How do you think Cheese from Res Dogs is doing? We haven't heard from him in a while.
He was in the latest Spielberg movie. He's doing really
well.
The
big one.
Cheese is doing well?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that.
Oh, they just showed it again. Oh.
Mm. On this date in the year 1962, Frank Morris, Clarence Anglin, and John Anglin, prisoners at Alcatraz.
Oh, here we go.
Staged an escape, leaving the island on a makeshift raft. One day later, they popped up safe and sound and lived a pretty good life.
They would be about 110 or something right now, living their best life.
Wait a minute. Says here, never found or heard from again.
Oh.
Oh.
Probably eaten by a hammerhead.
They made it.
A hammer what?
Why would they do that?
We did convince both my
no
kids
one's giving them that.
The day before we went to Alcatraz.
If I had to choose between the two, I would take that.
Who, me?
We convinced my kids the night before when we watched the movie that sometimes those guys will just show up on the tour. So get ready.
No, bitch.
No way, Dad.
I'm too high for this.
What
right
a cool
now.
Thing to be alert for.
Well, he was like seven.
I know, Dad. I can't handle this.
You think it's him?
You're freaking me out, man.
And then you have to tell him why it can't be that guy. Because he has a certain racial characteristic.
That guy's black. Oh. There he is, Daddy.
Boy, you almost made black a two-syllable word there.
Black.
He doesn't want you to mischaracterize what he's saying.
Black.
Black.
In 1963, Vietnamese Buddhist monk Thich Quang Duke lit himself on fire on a Saigon street as a protest against the Vietnamese government's persecution of Buddhists.
We got an album cover out of it.
This is Saigon.
Which one?
Rage Against the Machine?
Oh.
And then 19.
In 1990, Nolan Ryan, at the age of 43, pitches the sixth no-hitter of his career as the Rangers beat the A's 5-0.
Corby, who's on the mound right now for Kansas City? What's his last name?
That guy's black.
Mm-hmm.
Is it black?
It's black.
That feels more appropriate. And in 2009,
it's a white guy.
Kind of ironic.
With swine flu reported in more than 70 nations.
Mason Black.
The World Health Organization declared the first global flu pandemic in 41 years. Remember swine flu?
Yeah.
I think I have it. Cumulus birthdays. Today is the birthday of Matt Armus.
Good dude.
Good old Matt.
Matt the Anus, as we call him.
The anus?
Can't stop.
It's like an anus on your arm.
P1 birthdays. Greeting ticket friends. This is P1 Zach. Today, my 40th birthday. Been listening since elementary school. My smoking hot Serbian girlfriend, Dragana, sent me to bed in that special way because she had to get up early for Pilates and work or whatever.
Oh, boy.
Would love a birthday shout out and a shout out to my sons, Isaac and Noah. Would love to hear Gordon's Al Gore prank call. I double over every time I hear it. Love the station and appreciate what you guys do to your body.
It's a little long.
All respectfully right. From P1 Zach.
Where's she from? Where's Svetlana from?
Serbia.
Ghana. Oh. I like it.
I do too. I wonder if he brought her over here.
Yeah. Paid for her. Ordered her out of a catalog.
Probably not because she's like in Pilates and stuff now. She's hot. She's become accustomed to our ways.
Before you bring her over.
Oh, did you know we missed a birthday yesterday?
No.
Who?
Happy birthday to former WFAA's own Pete Friedman.
Oh, sweet Pete.
Yeah.
Good dude.
Dallas Observer, awesome. Etc., Central Track.
Look at the sky.
Did he write the shredded cheese story about that girl?
Yeah.
I thought so. That's hard-hitting journalism. Let's see, birthdays. Joe Montana, 70.
Greatness.
Not wow. Montana.
Hardline zone.
The Montana.
Hero to so many.
Diana Taurasi, 44.
Does she lead, like, the league in all time, something or others, maybe rebounds or something? Isn't she, like, tall and stuff?
You sound like you have a great grasp of the history of the WNBA.
I'm close. She's something going on there. Maybe most games.
She's first and only player to score over 10,000 career points.
I'm saying there you go. She's not a big, though. She's like a wing, right?
Oh, wing.
What do you consider big?
I've seen her fill it up in person.
All-time
so.
Oh, three-point yeah. leader.
Fill up a pad?
Oh.
What in the world, Dave?
God.
You see that
fill it
person.
Up.
Gosh.
Dave's our leader.
Too far, man.
Not far enough.
Like, while she was playing?
I mean, statistically,
Bob's the one that saw it. I don't know.
It's like her Jordan flu game.
Better hope it's not at home.
Like, you know, once the great players get in the flow, you
right.
can't stop them.
Mm-hmm. It never ends.
Yeah. Jose Reyes, 43. Brock Holt, 38. Jorge Alfaro, 33.
Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Top prospect.
Yep. Tyler Guyton, 25.
Bust.
Give him time.
He is no Creighton.
Just a little time.
Bernard Purdy, 87. He invented the Purdy shuffle. Frank Beard is 77.
ZZ Top.
He's got that big, all that facial hair, you know?
Well, he's the one without the beard, ironically.
He's openly gay. No. Donnie Van Zant, 74.
Which one is that? Was he on the plane?
Special.
Well, he's still alive.
Yeah, but people were on the plane that lived.
Really?
Yeah, they ate the other ones.
They were eating musical instruments.
Right. Hugh Laurie, 67.
House.
Dr. Oz, 66.
The great doctor.
Put him in the White House. Yeah, he loves George. Merle. George loves him.
What was their deal? Like a bicycling fight or something?
Well, they were at a bike race, and Dr. Oz looked at Jub and was like, "You're racing?"
They were at an Ironman, I think.
Ooh.
And he didn't believe in George. Peter Dinklage, 57.
Greatness.
He had some time later on that he would carve out a little time for him to kiss his ass.
That's right, Chief.
How tall is Peter?
Peter Dinklage looks awesome for 57.
Well, how many years is that in?
In people years.
What? Dave?
4'5".
Okay.
So not 3'6".
He's... I would do.
He's over the little person Mendoza.
I would
line.
Be 4 foot five instead of 7 foot six.
You know, he auditioned to play the Hound, but he was so good in casting that they
lugging
were like,
the sword on the ground.
let's give you a different role.
Five.
Joshua Jackson, 48 of Dawson's Creek and the Mighty Ducks.
That's Pacey.
Dawson.
Shia LaBeouf, 40. Jimmy O. Yang, 39. That's Jin Yang.
Yes, a water animal.
No, hot dog.
Anna Sawai, 34.
Oh, my God. The hottest woman alive.
From Shogun.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
That's end it all.
Yeah. Well, she's also in Monarch, the
Godzilla
show.
Well, that's kind of stereotyping.
Today, the 29th birthday of Kodak Black.
Okay.
Corby has one note on him.
That guy's black.
Born this day, now dead.
Three.
Ironically.
The real Henry Hill.
Eh.
Gene Wilder.
Greatness.
And Vince Lombardi.
Got a seal here.
And a seal here.
And Jacques Cousteau. And Five, down this day, still dead, four, we have John Wayne, three, Dusty two, Rhodes, and Brian Wilson.
And you're...
Shut it down!
Black.
Bye, Justin. Go Mexico.
Bye,
go for
broadcast.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Before, intelligence told you what happened. Now, it decides what happens next. Preventing fraud before it hits. Adjusting customer experiences in real time. Optimizing every decision as it unfolds. This is the shift from insight to action. Discover real-time decisions at Teradata.com. Teradata. Activate your enterprise intelligence.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy. Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.
Once again, the ticket presents Why Today Doesn't Suck.
Sucking on a chili dog. Sucking on a dog. Sucking on a chili dog. Chili.
And now, here are your hosts, Sean Bass and David Mino.
No, I just heard funny stuff. Oh, Will Connerly, liking to laugh when you hear funny stuff like sirens. Fun times. Happy Friday to you. Shout out to Lars, our new friend, for joining us and talking some soccer and United States. Get to knowing the guy. Cool dude. I'd like to have a beer with Lars very soon. Have him on the air again sometime. And at 2:59, Ham Adebayo.
Thank you, Mono. ETC's Market and Bakery and Gimme the Vim brings you Haircut Davidson.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ham.
You look exactly the same.
Mr. Dixon.
Well, I took, Dave, I took like 8 pounds of weight off my hair.
Whatever.
Hello, look at this. It's our friends, the P1s in line at Sidecar Social for Summer Bash.
They're all queued up for the free gear.
USA! USA!
He's pandering.
What do you mean?
I feel like you're pandering.
Oh, yeah. You don't like your country? Okay, that's cool.
I like it.
What, are you chanting Russia?
No,
you know what? Cheer Iran. Go ahead.
Well, they're not playing. You know what? I'm going to one-up you. Hey, P1s, give yourselves a hand.
Okay.
God, that was even worse.
USA's better. Today is June the 12th. By the way, I don't know how to say this, but RIP to Monty.
Oh, man, again.
Yeah.
He
could only schedule AC repair the 2 hours he's on the air.
So apparently he was outside and he had his 2-iron and he was hitting his air conditioner with it.
Uh-huh.
And he was electrocuted by the actual AC unit and a lightning strike at the same time. He exploded into 1,000 pieces and is no more. Nevermore.
It's just the nub.
Nevermore.
Well, we might be able to put him back together again.
I heard that his wheelchair was grounded and that the lightning went straight into the ground.
And out of the stump.
Okay. Now is he buried in the ground?
Yeah. The lightning went out of his stump like the Emperor in Return of the Jedi.
Well, we shouldn't laugh about a death, but here we are.
No, it's very
serious. Today is June 12th, the 163rd day of the year. 202 days left in 2026. Damn. It's Peruvian Hairless Dog Day.
They get a day?
Wow.
Yes.
It's incredibly specific.
Yeah. I feel like whenever I do this segment, when Monty dies.
Wasn't that the code word in...
That he always puts in stuff that I'm not really sure if it's real.
Yeah, that he could have made that up.
And I'll read it. I'm wrong.
Sure, why not?
Also, it's a day that I am definitely against. World Day Against Child Labor. I am pro-child labor. The smaller, the better. Their little hands can fit into little engines and stuff.
Whoa, dude.
Not the people.
Jeez. Why would they do that?
Engine prostate exams?
Just why would you require that?
Just one tier.
And why are you into that?
Is that what your search history is?
Oh, daddy. No.
Little hands, tight holes.
No.
Native Americans.
It's a Native American base, idiot. And it's National Loving Day.
Commander.
On this day in history in 1920, Man O' War won the 52nd Belmont Stakes.
Such a better name than Secretariat.
Yeah.
And set the record for the fastest mile ever run by a horse at that time.
Is that a kind of jellyfish? Or is that another name for jellyfish?
It's tough to tell.
It's a
I think the Man O' War stings harder than a jellyfish.
That's what I always remember when I was a kid at the beach.
I always felt like if you nutted in the toilet, it was like, man.
Okay, we're not going to say that.
What are you doing?
Wow.
And we dumped it, too. We caught it in time.
Like, how long have you worked here?
Well, he technically doesn't work here.
But
so.
He does.
Such a funny verb.
Can you say that?
No, no. You idiot.
Oh.
What are you, hammered already?
What time is it?
It's 3.
Yes.
How many beers in are you?
I don't.
No doubt he's on the golf course.
It's Man of War Friday.
He's just pounding it. In 1923,
jeez.
Harry Houdini freed himself from a straitjacket, unlike Riggs, while suspended upside down 40 feet above ground in New York City. Have Riggs try that.
Riggs had a move that Houdini could not even figure out.
Yeah, I'm sure he could have. He's Houdini.
He can't,
by the way,
dislocate his shoulder.
No, no, who can? I feel like that we've asked this question before, but is Houdini as relevant today as he was when we were kids? Because that was a name like Marilyn Monroe almost. We were like,
no.
Oh, whoa, Houdini? And,
no.
What's his magic
that
great?
There was the Dua Lipa song, Houdini.
He's no Chris Angel.
No.
Yeah, David Blaine would put him to shame.
Yeah, he's no Joe Bluth.
Mm-mm. Eminem just had a song called Houdini.
Okay.
He did.
So Houdini has a song from Eminem and Dua Lipa?
Yeah.
EA, can you do a couple bars for us?
Let's hear it.
Yeah.
Hey, Em, it's Paul. Oh, never mind.
What?
There's cussing. Yeah, I just saw the lyrics.
I give up.
Just get the instrumental going. And
hey, Em, it's Paul.
He's doing the little skit between tracks.
Yeah. 1942. Sean.
What the fuck is that?
Dutch schoolgirl Anne Frank received.
No
what?
No one's ever called her that.
Yeah, Anne Frank?
Dutch schoolgirl.
That is really a weird way
That's
to.
That's another.
I was concerned why you were aiming
terms.
That at me.
That was another in the Tiny Hand series.
Ham wrote this. I'm reading. What did she receive for her birthday?
A man diary? Of war toilet?
Not a toilet, a diary, which she would put to good use. In 1981, probably the second greatest day of my life at that time, as Raiders of the Lost Ark premiered.
Still good.
Star Wars was 1, Raiders of the Lost Ark was 2, and we were only a couple of years away from Rocky 3, rounding out the medal stand. As greatest days of my life.
Can I stop you? Read that graphic.
Is Spurs coach Mitch Johnson's job safe? Are you effing kidding me? And they have to talk about it up there?
I love sports talk so much.
I just don't think he's going to make it.
Is this Big Perk?
Sports.
No, it's some
CBS Sports Network.
If we fire him before game 5, does that help our chances of winning?
Get rid of him now. I did see a couple of Spurs fans, though, like, he shouldn't even get on the plane.
Leave him on the tarmac.
Yeah.
What would that be a big sports story if they fired their coach during the finals?
Yeah. 1987, President Reagan challenged Gorbachev to tear down this wall.
Yeah, well, I thought it was about load-bearing walls.
Not really. They kind of took that as their own.
Okay.
We're going to tear down this wall and this wall, and it'll get opened.
In 1994, Nicole Simpson, O.J. Simpson's ex-wife, and her friend, Ron Goldman, are stabbed to death outside of her home in Brentwood. No need to cheer
Somebody
for
loves that.
What the hell? Weirdo.
That was weird.
He loves Colombian neckties.
In 1997, Ham, Batman and Robin, directed by Joel Schumacher, starring the Clunes as Batman and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Chris O'Donnell as Mr. Freeze and Gay Boy? What was Chris O'Donnell's character?
Robin.
Robin, that's right.
Was that the worst one?
Yeah. Was Clunes the Batman with nips?
Yes.
Yes.
It was more realistic.
It was just really cold in the Batcave. I
mean, and they showed a really good shot of the butt, too, a lot.
Please, God, mark that.
How do you characterize
is that the worst
a really good shot of the butt?
Is that the worst movie in the history of the Batman series?
What's the one with
yes, as I just said.
Oh, you said that? I didn't hear you.
Is that not, is it not the one with Schwarzenegger in it?
Yeah, I just said that.
Oh.
As I just said.
What about Schwarzenegger?
Yes, as I just said.
In 1997, the first ever regular season interleague game.
Which one had Schwarzenegger in it?
So they decided to play.
Was it that one?
The number one National League team of all time against the number one American League team of all time. Mm-hmm. As the Texas Rangers were defeated
and
by
we
the
were
San
there.
Francisco Giants 4-3.
The first meeting of the sweet spot.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. How old were you guys? Like 8?
12 probably.
Yeah, I would have been 8 years old.
Tiny hands.
Yeah, y'all were old enough to do surgery at that time on Native Americans. Yeah. In 2007, the action film Transformers, terrible, premiered in Sydney.
Couldn't
starring Shia LaBeouf
today.
And Megan Fox.
I don't
Fox,
think it though. Was Transformers.
Oh.
As I think it was Transformers.
Like former trans.
Transformers.
More than meets the guy.
Birthdays, Mark Henry, 55, the wrestling guy.
Tie.
Legend.
Hideki Matsui is 52.
Godzilla.
It's Godzilla.
He was famous for one particular thing that got the hardline going. Do you remember?
Smoked, right?
Sex?
No.
Porn catalog.
He had a vintage porn collection.
Who was the guy
that
smoked?
Made one member of the hardline particularly interested.
Who was the... Yeah, probably. Who was the Japanese guy that was a big smoker that we saw him like chain smoking
Shohei?
Cigarettes in a bar? I think he's dead now.
Hideki
Who's a dead?
Arabu?
Yeah, that's it.
Do you have any Seika?
Hideki Arabu.
Natsuke Fukudome.
Antoine Jameson is 50.
Mamrick.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I loved him.
Boy, he was a Mamrick. In fact, I believe he was cited as one of the reasons we can't pay Nash.
Don't blame him. Good move.
Giving Jameson his money.
Dallas Clark is 47.
Iowa Deej.
Bob, Drew Holiday is 36.
What a dude. We had some time together. And for reasons I don't fully understand, Cowboy Tom gave me a signed Drew Holiday jersey from the Sea Below storeroom or something.
From the Bucks?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool. I'm very appreciative. I just thought it was...
Was it from Lost and Found?
Maybe. It was like the most random thing I could have imagined, but I'm very appreciative.
Bun yeah. E. Carlos, the drummer of Cheap Trick, is 75. Jason Mewes, Jay and Silent Bob, 52. Brian O'Bear, wow, the singer of Silver Sun is 50? I think of them as like a young band. Silver Sun Pickups.
I guess they didn't hit it until he was older.
Damn, bruh. The singer, Bob Robin, is 47.
Gay boy.
Dave Franco is 41. Born on this day, now dead.
That's
George Herbert Walker Bush, who liked to grab a little ass, passed away
also
in 2018.
President Bush passed away.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, darn it.
Wow, Anne Frank. Born on this day, now dead.
Yeah, because she got a diary for her birthday.
Dutch schoolgirl, Anne Frank.
Steady hands.
Chick Corea, 27-time Grammy winner, born on this day, now dead. Dead on this day,
Jeff
still dead.
Venus.
The cussinest guy in NBA history, according to the documentary, Jerry West.
Crumbs.
Henry Hill, dead on this day, still dead. Bad Radio Zone.
That's actually pretty gross.
Ron Goldman, dead on this day, still dead. And Nicole Brown Simpson.
3, 2, and you're done.
Shut it down! Let's go home!
Bye, EA.
Love you.
Broadcasting live, I believe, from the TX.
What would you do if your online store converted 36% more shoppers? You could take 36% more vacation.
Another pina colada?
Yes, please.
Open a new retail location with 36% more square feet.
Fantastic.
Hire 36% more help.
You're hired and you're hired.
Shopify has the world's best converting checkout, up to 36% better than other e-commerce platforms. What you do with those extra sales is up to you. Switch to Shopify today at shopify.com/listen and get a $1 trial. Shopify.com/listen.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.
Before, intelligence told you what happened. Now, it decides what happens next. Preventing fraud before it hits. Adjusting customer experiences in real time. Optimizing every decision as it unfolds. This is the shift from insight to action. Discover real-time decisions at Teradata.com. Teradata. Activate your enterprise intelligence.
Introducing a better way to save on energy. TXU Energy Free Nights and Cool Summer is a first-of-its-kind plan with free nights all year, plus a 25% bonus toward your daytime use all summer. Free nights all year and more. A whole new way to save with TXU Energy.